It is 12:13. As we mentioned before, Judy Hodgson of the North Coast Journal wrote a fairly intense piece, and we've got her here on the phone. The backstory on it is that the Board of Supervisors did something that appears to be legal and within their bounds, but circumvented a decade of public input over a weekend. I got a little bit upset, and I think you did too.
Yes, very much. It was one of the more blatant power grabs that I've seen in all my years watching the Board of Supervisors. I think to pull something off like this, it was very well planned out, announced right before the weekend, and during the weekend no one pays attention. The vote was on Monday afternoon, and it was a done deal. And yet it was something that was, it was about something very, very profound. If you don't think a mission statement and guiding principles are important, people are just not paying attention. It's every good company has a mission statement and guiding principles. And Ryan, I think, called it your compass when he was writing his blog post or his piece in the journal last week. It's the compass of your business or your organization or your nonprofit or even your club. You know, service clubs have mission statements and guiding principles, and they're very, very important, because when something goes wrong in a company or when something doesn't seem right, you go back to your mission statement and say, well, wait a minute, here it is in our mission statement. This is who we are, and these are our, it's a moral compass. It's who you are morally. And what happened, engineered by Estelle, was absolutely outrageous, and people should be angry.
So you are in full-on, I'm mad as hell and not going to take it anymore mode?
No, I think, you know, Soham voted her in last year in a very close race. I'm afraid everybody's going to have to live with that for the next 3.5 years. But the point of my column is it wasn't just Estelle. It was three other supervisors who went along with her. And in other words, they blessed this blatant grab of power. And the next two people who are up for re-election, I think right now we ought to have people who are, find good people who are willing to run against them, and I mean next year, and that's Ryan Sundberg and Virginia Bass.
So it has been said that this is the dumbest board in living memory. What do you think about that statement?
I don't use the word dumb, or at least on the record or, you know, on air. I think I said something, I don't have my column in front of me, but one of the reasons we go to college is to learn critical thinking. It's really not to memorize facts. HSU is very proud of their liberal arts program that teaches people critical thinking. And I think that is seriously lacking on this Board of Supervisors. It just astounds me. I saw some of it last year when I was working with the board trying to, one of my hobby projects, I've been trying to push the Bay Trail. So a couple of things happened that I really bothered me deeply, people were really not, not informed, not on board, not really paying attention. It's like showing up to class without reading the book. You know, they were not prepared. So there were some things that bothered me last year, and I just thought to myself, well, we're just going to have to put up with it. This is what people, these are the people voted in by the voters, and we have to respect the results of an election. But what happened, you know, a week ago was so outrageous and such an abuse of power that I think we ought to, that they should be replaced. I really do. And I'm not talking about a recall. I'm talking about the normal, calm, deliberative process of an election. The 5th District and the 4th District should be looking at their neighbors and saying, who's willing to step forward and run against these people who did this thing and they thought it was okay. They thought they could pull off this outrageous power grab, change the guiding principles of the general plan, overnight and fool everyone by doing it over a weekend.
So are you angry at the effect of the change, which would have some serious environmental consequences if all these landowners out in the hills, decided to start building willy-nilly without respect to the watershed or the greater habitat that they are a part of? Are you more upset at the effect of that, or are you more upset at the political subterfuge, or are you just aghast at the stupidity? You wouldn't use that word, but like, it's a tactical misstep to play the hand the way that it was played.
It was ham-fisted. How about that word? It was pretty outrageous that Estelle did this. I mean, she did not win with a huge majority. She won a close election in that district. And for one person to come in and engineer this and be the leader of the pack, she's the one I'm the angriest about. You know, I don't think things are going to change overnight on what we develop and where we develop, but look exactly, precisely at what they took out, that protection, the ag and timber protection was substantially weakened. And because basically these guys want to build in the hills any place they want. And it is a little Tea Party-ish. I mean, I hate to use that word because, libertarians, I tend to like libertarians. I kind of like their feisty, I don't need the government so much, and, you know, but this was really, their mentality is, I get to do what I want on my land. And aren't we beyond that? Look at Mendocino's. I was not aware that Mendocino had as strong a policy as they do, but that's something to admire and to adhere to. And that's what we should be doing, is what Mendocino's doing. You know, we respect our ag and timberlands, and we want to protect them. We also want services where we already have built the infrastructure. You know, we have to be able to provide services when somebody builds a house somewhere. We have to have a fire department that responds, you know? So to them to just, you know, weaken the whole general plan process like this and to do it, I guess you use the word subterfuge. Absolutely. I think that's what people should be angry about, is it was done in such a sneaky, underhanded way. So, yeah, I'm mad about that.
So you would characterize this as just a gross override of a decade of public process. Like, they looked at the thing and said, you know, this public process did not give us the results that I want, so let's figure out a backdoor to get around it.
Right. And so, actually, it's more than, I think the GPU process has been 13 years, but those guiding principles, a lot of people went to those hearings. They had hearings in McKinleyville, you know, over the hill from where I live. A lot of people had input on those guiding principles, and they are really, really important. And they were just wiped out. They weren't wiped out. I don't want to exaggerate. They were substantially changed. And the other thing people should be a little upset about is this class system. Somehow landowners are special. They are different than people who have to rent. So this is a class issue. A lot of back-to-the-landers who... I have my piece of property. I should be able to do anything I want with it. And not only that, she inserted this word honor. Why should we honor landowners? Shouldn't renters be honored? I mean, everybody who rents in Humboldt County should be looking around and saying, wait a minute, am I a second-class citizen? Where do I get honored? And you know what? The other three that went along with her, I don't think they really... You know, they didn't read it that carefully. They didn't pay attention. They didn't put one side by side. You know, and we pay these guys over $80,000 a year. It's not a ginormous amount of money, but it's a good salary. And we should expect them to do their homework and do a better job than they're doing now. And, you know, next election, that's all I can say. It's just, you know, you lose an election and you just wait for the next one and say, okay, let's get someone better to run.
We've got Judy Hodgson, who is traveling right now, and we're running out of time here, but she wrote a strongly worded piece in this week's North Coast Journal that, in so many words, is calling for the heads of some of the supervisors. And you had said that you would like citizens to start discussing among themselves alternative candidates who could run against the people that you say are responsible for this move. Do you have a short list of names? Because I've been asking around, like, oh, who could defeat Rex Bone? And I can't think of anybody who would do that.
Okay, I probably today, if an election were held today, yes. But I'm, you know, he was just elected last fall, and so was Estelle. So we've got them for another 3.5 years. I'm talking about specifically the 4th and the 5th district, people who live in Eureka, people who live in northern Humboldt County. That's the first step, is that those two people who were swept into power with the same pack of money as Rex Bone and Estelle Fennell. So that's, you know, Ryan Sundberg and Virginia Bass. They're just, you know, they would be first because they are the ones that are going to have to answer directly to the voters. The voters, when they go on those forums and have debates when they're running for office next year, people should say, hey, what about this sneaky, underhanded thing that you did, that you went along with?
You, in your piece, you point out that you've been a reporter for some time. You've been watching the Humboldt County Board for some time. You would not go so far as to use the phrase dumbest board in living memory. But could you put this in context from your perspective?
I think it's probably the most disappointing panel overall that I've ever seen since I've been reporting since 1981.
The most disappointing panel that you've seen since 1981?
Yes.
Judy Hodgson of the North Coast Journal, thank you. I know you're on vacation right now. Thank you for taking the call and talking with Kay Hum today.
Okay, thank you.
Judy Hodgson, you can read her piece in this week's North Coast Journal.